Salo Falava, I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki, and I'm inviting you to join me on a journey through the evolution of our Pacific cultures on Culture Compass. We'll meet incredible people dedicated to preserving traditions while adapting them for today's world. Join me as we travel the Pacific to celebrate our resilience, revival, and deep-rooted connection.
Search for Culture Compass wherever you get your podcasts to listen.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Malolale and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes and this show is all about keeping you across all things Pacifica sport. So let's not waste any time and get to what's coming up on the show. You'll meet Manu Maki of Vanuatu Beach Volleyball.
We brought four teams here in Australia. One team of the under 16, one under 17 teams, and then two under 18 teams.
You'll also meet Benson Upas, the Sports Talk Sevens tournament manager.
So far, we have about 52 teams. That's 24 open men's and 12 open women's and 16 under 20s. They're registered, geared up, ready to play.
We'll also talk through the Tongan men's national team and the very unique recruiting process going on in the US for that team. We'll talk through the latest in the Vanuatu women's football team. But to cover all of this amazing sport that is happening across our region, I'm joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific to chat all things happening in our sport. And the first one I'm going to introduce is Jamie Huddle from PNG. Jamie, how are you over there? How is beautiful PNG?
Hello. Well, to be honest, it just started raining here, so the weather's changed, but it's a good day here in PNG.
Well, hopefully the weather doesn't dampen the mood because we've got a lot to get through. And joining us as well, an absolute superstar, Mel Fadi.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I am very well. And you have discovered that my name is Samuel, spelt with an A. That's popped up on your screen, so that's taken you by surprise.
I have. It's actually taken me by quite surprise. I know your name, full name is Samuel, but I think it's more the spelling that's... but, you know, I've seen some funnier spellings in the Pacific Islands for English names, but look, I love it.
Love it. Thanks, man. Know, I was going to say, you know what?
If you didn't love it.
If you didn't love it, I would have passed your number onto my mum and I would have got my mum to give you a call. But that's enough about us. Let's get into the show.
Fresh off the field. Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Oh, it's time to start with our first segment here, which is the Big Bowl. It's where we come together, take a seat on the mat and chat the biggest sports stories across the Pacific. So sit back and fill your cup as myself, Mel and Jamie run through the must-know sports news in the region.
The Big Bowl.
Hey, does that sting make you want to talk news or just kick back?
Kick back.
Just kick back, eh? I don't know.
With a coconut.
That's it, eh? Just sip away, looking at the crystal clear water, not really talking about sport. Just, it makes me not want to work at all. But we do have to do the job here and inform our audience on what's happening across Pacific and Mill. We're going to start with some massive news around the Vanuatu women's football team. And obviously, there's a lot happening in this space. I feel like we've come a long way in the Pacific around women in sports, equity, equality, and the movement of pathways and more opportunities for women in sport across the Pacific. But, you know, when you hear stories like this, we still have a long way to go. What have you got for us here?
Absolutely. I mean, over the weekend and even throughout this week as well, we've had a lot of conversations on social media, especially around some news articles that were published by the Vanuatu Daily Post around the Vanuatu women's football team and the performances as of late. However, those articles did not focus on the performances of the girls. It took a dive into their own personal lives, and it allowed gossip, talking about their own personal relationships. And I think the heading of the article itself was blaming the fact that the girls aren't winning because of lesbianism, which I think is such an unfortunate thing and is such a distasteful thing to put out on social media, especially about a team that has done so well and has worked so hard with very little, by the way, to represent Vanuatu. And then following on from that, we've now had another recent one, actually just yesterday, following on from that, is that now they're looking at a strategy. Vanuatu Daily Post is suggesting that looking at the strategy that Vanuatu football must now take into consideration, giving these girls birth control so that they do not get pregnant from now until 2030 to try and grow football, but not looking at the fact that these women and girls play football because they love football, not because they get paid for it. They don't get the resources, they don't get the training, they don't get the support that, for example, the men's team get to be able to play football. And they have been performing with what has been given to them. And, you know, unfortunately, that takes away from all the amazing things that the girls have done. You know, they were one of the only teams in Vanuatu that won a gold medal for us in the 2017 Pacific Mini Games in Vanuatu. But nobody talks about that. Everybody talks about the women's team in such a personal way. And I think that it's unfortunate because it's a bad precedent for women's sport when women have been the majority of the winners that bring in the gold medals and bring in the medals for Vanuatu year in and year out. But this is still how we're talking about it. And it creates a dangerous environment for the girls as well, especially the football team, because we know the attitude towards, you know, the LGBTQ community in our community. So it sets a very dangerous environment for them where we don't know what's going to happen to them. And if people find them around and out and about. So I just think it's, Sam, really, really unfortunate that we're still focusing on women's personal lives and not the performances in sport.
Oh, man, I can hear it in your voice, you know, how infuriated you are with this being an issue. When you think about all the barriers that have come, you know, to stop women from playing in the past, and then thinking, oh, we are making progression in this area. But how do these comments sort of impact women wanting to continue playing and trying to represent their country if they're taking these type of measures to say that this is what needs to be done if you want to play for our country?
I think a lot of women and girls would really consider no longer participating in sport. And, you know, like, I remember, it's not that long ago, it's 10 years ago where women aren't playing sport, 5 years ago, women aren't playing sport. And now to have these conversations, and Sam, I want to add that these conversations are being had without women in the room. We do all these news articles and all these social media podcasts and all of this without actually bringing in women who are playing sport, female athletes, into those rooms to speak on those women's issues, to find out what exactly are the barriers, because being a lesbian is not a barrier to performance. And, you know, becoming pregnant is not a barrier to sport as well. That is such a backwards mindset. And I think it's so dangerous because it's setting our women back, and it's the news. And once it gets on social media, the community then attaches themselves to it. And then it would make a lot of women and girls would be afraid to then join sport just because they don't want the shame.
Oh, man, Jamie, you know, when you heard this story, you've played rugby union, that which is a contact sport, and all the challenges and barriers for Pacific Island women playing a contact sport, and how far we've come so that we do have women playing a contact sport. Like, how did this make you feel when you first heard about this story?
Honestly, like, it made a lot of people feel uncomfortable. And also, like, in terms of social media, like, to be honest, it has gone out of context. Like, some, instead of talking about a team's performance, they've leaned towards their personal lives and talking about their relationships, which is not good. Some things are meant to be kept private and not for the public to be discussed. So it's a normal trend these days for, you know, to this generation to practice different types of relationships. So, yeah, I think some things just should be left private instead of being talked about on a public platform.
You're not wrong. And for any of those coaches out there, any head coaches out there, the responsibility is on you to create the environment for players to perform well. You know, you control your preparation, you control your performances through high performance and making sure there's a sense of, you know, wanting to be in this environment. You control that, and it does not discriminate on your sex or your gender. man, I've been in plenty of teams where the environment has been amazing and the diverse players in that room have come towards this and go, man, we're going to do this because our coach has helped create an environment that we want to belong to. So I think there's such a long way to go there. And Mel, when you think about the solution here, like what is the solution to be able to move past these conversations so the women can just focus on just playing the sport that they love to do?
Look, Sam, I don't think there is one solution, but I think, you know, the lesson that national federations could take from their sporting federations in Vanuatu is to put in better safeguards. I think that women still don't have enough safeguards, especially and girls as well, to protect themselves when they come and participate in sport from being shamed from all of these different things. And I think a lot of training needs to be done around, like, especially with coaches and how they can create. And you said that so beautifully as well. It is the coaching stuff as well that create an environment where girls can come and feel safe to play. And I think, you know, training coaches, that could be part of those safeguards. But, you know, coming from an environment in cricket where it's so safe for me to play cricket and then to see the women's football team. And I think, you know, maybe it's time national federations work together to figure out how to work together as a collective to make women safe across all sport. But the media needs to also reevaluate itself. People need to reevaluate themselves and how they talk about women in our country. So I think there are so many different things. There is not just one solution that we can say and do.
Mel, you have my vote for CEO of Sports Federation in Vanuatu, I think. So you're an amazing ambassador for sport, and hopefully we can see some solutions very soon and we don't have these conversations ever again. But Jamie, let's get to you now. The PNG Billums, they qualify for the Oceania qualifiers in round three. Some wonderful news there.
Yeah, a really big news for PNG women's football team, the PNG Billums. You know, topping that Group B after facing Fiji in their last match in Bar, Govind Park. So to have that win means a lot. They advanced to round three, which is now, you know, set for New Zealand. So they have a few weeks to prepare before they fly off again to New Zealand. In round two, PNG faced Vanuatu in the opening fixture and then New Caledonia and, of course, the host Fiji. And, you know, they got straight wins. The team was captained by Ramona Padio, was recently nominated as the best FIFA Women's 11 midfielder. And she led the team during the rescheduled match against Fiji. And it was a nail-biter for both teams, you know, holding on with no goals in the first half. Megan Gunemba, obviously, when you hear the name Gunemba, you know that's a royalty for football here in PNG. She came off the bench to score the only goal to put PNG Billums in front. So that's actually the goal that helped them win and advance into they finished on top of their group. So for PNG, this is the 10th FIFA World Cup qualifier, and they're led by coach Eric Koman, who's now looking to, with a few weeks of preparations left, they now prepare to face American Samoa in the semifinals. Now, I'm also impressed with how the American Samoa team executed their performance during the Group A qualifiers in Honiara. And they defeated host Solomon Islands in Samoa despite their loss against the All Whites from New Zealand. Now, for those who are confused on how this format works, these four teams are now vying for a direct qualification to the 2027 FIFA World Cup scheduled for USA in Mexico. And the semifinal winners advance to the finals. Now, the winner secures the direct ticket to the big dance, while the runner-up head to the intercontinental playoffs. And for PNG Billums, they were runner-ups in the last Oceania qualifiers after they lost against New Zealand, but they secured their spot to the intercontinental playoffs. And their last World Cup qualifier campaign was in 2023. Where they lost in the playoffs against Panama. So a lot of positive energy for the PNG Billums, and I am confident they can deliver during the rest of this campaign.
Well, good luck to the Billums. Hopefully there's some success in this game against, you said American Samoa, didn't you?
Yes, American Samoa.
Okay, so how much is PNG going to win by?
Honestly, it's so early to predict, but I am confident that PNG Billums will deliver. But like I said, the American Samoa team, they were the underdogs in the Group A fixtures, and they, you know, they were the team that upset the rest of the you know, the tournament. No. It was the upset of the tournament. Okay. Warmer some of the underdogs to, you know,
I love it. I love an underdog story. I absolutely love an underdog story. But it's going to be a cracking match. So we'll see who gets the chocolates at the end of that game. But we're going to stay with football, soccer. Have any of you heard of Maikele Lomu from Tonga? Anyone see his post? Went viral because it was a unique way to recruit our Tongan talent to play soccer because of the US visa situation. We couldn't have our Tongans travel over there on the Tongan passport to the US. So, yes, so we're going to hear from Maikele Lomu in an interview, but have a listen to his post on why it went viral.
The Tonga men's national team is headed to the Outriggers Cup this June in the United States. The only issue is a lot of our players can't come. Due to the travel ban and other difficulties with visa applications for Tongan citizens, a lot of the boys aren't even allowed to step foot in the US. That said, we're relying on the Tongan diaspora to make up this team. We currently have about half a team made up of Tongan footballers, including myself and players from around the world. But we still need more. If you or someone you know is Tongan, meaning they have a Tongan parent or a grandparent, they qualify to play on this team. If you play other sports like rugby, American football, basketball, volleyball, pickleball, we still need your participation. If you're located in Utah, that's where I live. I'm even willing to train you myself. Please like and share this video so that we can reach as many people as possible. This is going to be a wild ride building this team. So follow along to see how the journey unfolds. Ofatu.
How good is that? It's a Hollywood script. I tick two of those boxes. I've played rugby before. Socially play pickleball, so maybe 2.5 boxes. My mother is Tongan, so I still have no hope of going to Utah to help the Tongan side do well, but a pretty funny story. But again, when you talk about barriers, there's always some type of challenge when it comes to trying to represent your country, isn't there, Mel?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, that is such the opposite way to use social media. It's just such a positive way to use it compared to, you know, the negative way that we've just seen in Vanuatu. But I love that so much, you know. Pacific Islanders are on Facebook all the time, so that's a great way to recruit. And I hope you recruit many Tongans who are there at the moment. That is so fun.
Well, mate, it's happened in the past. You know, even now we look at Moana Pacifica. My cousin Patrick Pellegrini is the starting fly half for them. And that's how that conversation happened with him getting to play for Moana, is like social media through Totai Kefu, the coach, and Tana Umanga. Just, yeah, he's my cousin, he's Tongan.
Love that.
And so they dug deeper, and look, 2 years later, he's playing for Moana and he played for Tonga. So hopefully this works for our team. But here's our chat with Maikele Lomu.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Maikele, welcome to Fresh Off the Field, man. How is the recruitment process going?
Yeah, thank you so much. It's actually going surprisingly well.
Talk to us around some of the messages and some of, I guess, when you open up the messages and you probably see the profile pic not matching potentially the athleticism that you're looking for. Have you had any of those?
Definitely a few, for sure. There's a lot more Tongans that play soccer than I thought there ever was in the world. I mean, even if they're out of shape, I'm still loving it.
Awesome. But on a serious note, have you got a team together ready for you to put together?
Yeah, honestly, the numbers are looking really good. I think I counted, the last I collected was about 45 names, most of which are here in the States. So it should work out pretty well for us.
Okay, it must be a big task, you organizing and coaching and recruit, like everything. So you seem like the one-stop shop to cover everything in all bases. Like, I know you even put yourself out there to help coach them personally if they don't have any knowledge around soccer. But what's it look like now to how to cut those numbers down and assemble the team and get ready for you whenever your first training will be?
We're actually just going to start training. We're going to have basically like open plays here in Utah. We've got probably 13 or like 14 players here that will be able to participate in that. Outside of the States and outside of Utah, we're just going to have players send in player tapes. So once we get that, how we're going to do that figured out, then we'll send out a message and people will start sending us player tapes so that we can start selecting the best ones, obviously.
And are you the only one looking through this footage to go through if they're good enough or not?
No, the head coach of the national team is also going to be looking through them as well.
Okay, and when is the next game? Like, how long do you have to get ready to prepare for your first game?
Yeah, so the game is in June, so we have a little less than 3 months.
Less than three. Okay, that's right. That's plenty of time. Has there any been? Yeah. Have there been any surprise players, like say, like an ex NFL player or an ex rugby union player? Have any of those slipped into your DMs to then put their hand up and try their best?
Oh yeah, yeah. There's been maybe three or four retired rugby players that want to get their boots back on.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And when I think about, you know, representing the motherland, like whereabouts are you from, and how much does it mean to you to be of service and help the tiny island out, our tiny island, try and, you know, develop in this game of soccer?
So, I'm from Utah. That's where I was born and raised, here in Utah, in the U.S. But I mean, it means everything to me to wear the badge. I represented the kingdom back in 2024 for the World Cup qualifiers. I was able to wear the badge and step out on the field for that one. And it honestly, when the national anthem played, the tears, like they started flowing. And I've only ever been to the island two times at that point. But like growing up here in Utah, it's basically like Tonga 2.0. So I mean, We love and we love repping the red jerseys, and so yeah, it seriously meant everything to me.
Unreal, man. I'm like been to the motherland, say it now a couple of times. What's your favorite feed there?
Lucipe is always the number one for me. I love it.
yeah, I'm with you. Lucipe and Otai. Best combination. Yeah. Nah, perfect. And finally from me, man, like obviously putting this together, what is your final message to the people of Tonga and people, you know, wanting to represent their motherland in sports sort of outside of the normal of rugby league and rugby union?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a beautiful opportunity to represent the kingdom, not just in soccer, but in every single sport. The kingdom needs us. And I think as Tongans, we need to come together and represent. We're a group of people that is very strong and athletic, and I think we can do a lot better in the world of sports, just in general, in football, in soccer, in rugby, everything. So it just takes everyone wanting to come together and make it happen.
You're not wrong. And sorry, I forgot to actually ask as well. The famous last name, Lomu, tell me you're related to the great man, Jonah.
Yeah, distantly, but yeah.
No, there's no such thing as distant relatives in Tonga. You know what it's like? Yeah, he's my cousin. That's my family. And on that note, man, like, you know, being of Tongan heritage as well, mum's Tongan. And when I saw your post, man, I just thought that's what it's about. You know, we have people across the globe just doing their bit for our tiny island. And ofalahi atu to you, to your campaign. And hopefully there's a couple of wins around the corner as well.
Yeah, I'll have to think. You're going to have to strap on your boots and come play with us sometime.
I've got one chance, and that is no chance. Oh, man, all good. Much love. Take care.
Yeah, thank you so much.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
We've already had one interview with Mike Gilly Lomu, the Tongan soccer player. Now we get to another interview. I love when we get to share stories with our co-hosts and hear some of the amazing stories from across the Pacific. So we're now going to go to Jamie and hear her chat with Mr. Benson Upas, the chairman of the Sports Tuck Sevens. Before we get into it, Jamie, can you give us a bit of context around this chat that you had with?
Yeah, so I had a chat with Mr. Upas, or Benson Upas, about the Sports Tuck Sevens tournament. So it's basically like one of the biggest sevens tournament here in the country.
And just for clarity, yeah, it's rugby sevens, yeah?
It is rugby sevens.
Perfect. Just wanted to make sure, just in case anyone else out there was unsure about the game they play in heaven. But what did you start off by asking him?
I started by asking him to provide an update on how the preparations have gone so far ahead of the Easter weekend showdown.
So far, we have about 52 teams. That's 24 open men's and 12 open women's and 16 under-20s. They're all registered, geared up, ready to play. And we also have, from the 24 men's, I think 10 or 12 from outside provinces. And we have the Fijians also coming.
What was the concept behind the Sports Tuck tournament when you guys started it like 9 seasons ago to now, like where it is today?
Well, I mean, we never thought that, you know, it'll turn into a international tournament having interest from Australia and Fiji and elsewhere. when we started almost 9 years ago in 2018. What happened was the initial objectives to start this was to, because we saw that there wasn't much rugby sevens tournament going at that time, and we used to have those provincial sevens tournaments, wasn't there, and there wasn't much opportunity or avenue to select players to represent PNG on the international scene. So we decided that, look, let's start small somehow, somewhere, and see if we can provide that opportunity to, you know, young, our youths to come and participate and see if they can be selected or scouted to represent Papua New Guinea. And hence, we started in 2018 very small, in Port Moresby. Somehow, you know, during the years it grew as we continued to learn and adjust and develop. And so basically, the objective was to provide an avenue for athletes, especially rugby and athletes for the sevens, for your players to be selected, and we did not have much at that time.
When it hit the national stage, like, it literally became an avenue to select the national team for both the Pukpuks and Palais. Now, what are your thoughts on the growth and development of players, like, stepping into that seven space?
I'd give one example which inspires us to, you know, continue to do what we're doing. Mm. Derek Voku from Biala came all the way from Biala's district in Western Britain to participate in Sports Talk, scouted to play for the national team. A guy in the rural settings of Papua New Guinea, a young youth, being exposed through Sports Talk Sevens, get selected to travel to South Africa. You know, some of us may not travel to South Africa for the rest of our life, you know, and then travel to South America and travel to Europe and all this exposure he gets, Australia and the Pacific. Some of us don't get to do that. Not many sports provide that avenue for players to travel the world. You know, that in itself, you know, give us that edge to drive and continue to push this tournament forward.
The Fiji Devil Barbers are returning to defend their title in this year's Sports Talk Sevens tournament. Now, obviously, they're also one of the top teams in the Fiji Beta Sevens series. What are your thoughts on them taking on our local teams here in the country?
Fiji are the benchmark in world rugby, or so to say, rugby sevens in PNG. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the world, and they are the world champion. So to have, you know, a team from that particular region or from Fiji to come and participate, it only gives that opportunity for our youths or rugby players to, you know, see and learn and play against the best. And when you play against the best, you try to be the best. It only helps. And from last year, this year, the teams are more prepared and they sort of, you know, see how Fijians play, and the boys sees it. But to play in the field against them, to experience that, it sort of helped them. And it sort of helped them to upskill.
Less than 2 weeks to go before kickoff at NFS. What's your message to fans and supporters of teams, not just in Port Moresby, but, you know, the Fiji community, Australian community, and also, you know, for the teams traveling in from the outside centres to come and watch the game?
You know, the culture in rugby union in PNG, you know, we always enjoy. It's a festival of rugby for the 2 or 3 days that we always enjoy when we host the tournament. So, you know, last year was much bigger. Everyone enjoyed, and it'll be the same this year, probably much bigger at a very good venue. So, you know, if you got nothing to do, you know, over the Easter weekend, why not come and watch some good rugby?
All right, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with myself, Sam Mikes, and thank you so much to Jamie Huddle for that chat with Mr. Benson Upas.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
All right, we're going to hear from Mel a little bit later on in the show, talking to Vanuatu Beach Volleyball. But for now, let's hop aboard the Fresh Off the Field Va'a and do this.
Island hopping.
Oh, man, Fresh Off the Boat. I'm thinking of the old CDs that we used to play with all the different Fresh Off the Boat CDs. Some banger mixes there, that's for sure. But it is our time to hop aboard the Va'a, talk about some of the beautiful things that are happening around our parts of the world. And first up, Jamie, we're going to go to you around the Va'a here. the Polynesian Track and Field Championships in New Zealand, and Samoa absolutely dominated there in the big events, I guess the 100 meter events. But what have you got for us here?
Obviously, with paddling from where you are to New Zealand for the Track and Field Champs, Poly Track and Field Champs, and yeah, I thought I'd start off with that Team Samoa. Obviously, you mentioned that Samoa dominated in the sprint events, and it was Johnny Malua leading the way by winning the men's 100-meter finals and contributing to a medal performance in the 4x100-meter relay. Now, the event was held last week at Trust Arena in Auckland in conjunction with the New Zealand Track and Field Champs, marking the event's return after a decade. Now, for the Samoan sprinter, Johnny Malua, he crossed the finish line clocking a 10.88 seconds timing. It was also a historic one to finish for Samoa, with teammate Fala Tunatuna Solomona coming in second to claim silver, while Tonga's Titali Kolomalu settled for bronze. And Fiji's Ratu Penaya Rama Sirai took home the visitor medal for coming across the line in second. Now, Johnny Malua's win marks the most significant international title to date and a milestone achievement for Athletic Samoa, signaling a shift in the momentum for the nation sprinting program as it looks forward to future international competitions. And similar for the men's 100-meter win, in the women's 100-meter finals, Simone Tafu Nai, also from Team Samoa, crossed the line clocking a 12.19 seconds to take gold. And French Polynesia's Amy Vallée finished second, while Cook Island sprinter Estelle Schott claimed bronze. Now, apart from the sprints for Team Samoa, we had a standout performance for the other events. Samoan Olympian Alex Rose also claimed gold in the men's discus, throwing more than 62 meters and, you know, showing why he's one of the leading Pacific athletes during that tournament. Now, apart from Samoa, Cook Islands athlete Max Tiurua produced one of the most remarkable efforts of the meet, equaling his national record in pole vaulting before breaking Cook Islands' record in the 110 hurdles with a time of 15.57 seconds. Now, Tonga's Titali Kolomalu, apart from Tonga's Kolomalu securing bronze in the 100-meter finals, the team also celebrated in the field events. And champion thrower Ata Ma'a Tutafaiva won gold in the women's shot put, while young Tongan athlete Penny C. Mani Taiolo, I hope I pronounced it right, also claimed gold in the under-20 men's discus. American Samoa's lone athlete Matthew Fiso also broke the national triple jump record with a 14.12 meter jump. And this record is a break, the one set 34 years ago by former athlete Safui Mauno in 1991. So overall, the event brought together more than 100 athletes, not just from Samoa, Tonga, and Cook Islands, but also from Tuvalu, Niue, American Samoa, and French Polynesia. So the next tournament is the Oceania Athletics Championship, and I'm sure these athletes will bring their best to compete with the broader Pacific and Australian teams.
What a great event. There was a lot of hype around this event. And yep, 6-8-5 to the world. They absolutely dominated the Samoans on the track and field events. So great work there. All right, Mel, over to you. We have the AFL South Pacific Nations Under-16s Academy news for us. What have you got here?
Well, Sam, I have to apologise. I'm not taking people away from Australia. I think maybe you can all blame it on university starting, but I have. The canoe is not moving. It is staying in Australia. But it has been an exciting period for the AFL Pacific Nations Academy, which brought together young talent from across the Pacific region as well. And for anybody that doesn't know what the AFL Pacific Nations Academy is, it is an important pathway program that brings together young AFL talent from across the Pacific region, and it provides them, these emerging players, with opportunities to train and to compete and to experience high performance environments as well, whilst also developing their skills and understanding of the game. So yes, it has been an exciting period for the AFL Pacific Nations Academy, and they kicked off with the under 16 girls program, which ran from the 18th to the 23rd of February in Australia at the Gold Coast, with players from Tonga, Vanuatu, Nauru, Papua New Guinea and Fiji coming together for a week of training and competition. And during the camp, the girls, under 16 girls, had the opportunity to also test themselves against the Brisbane Lions and Gold Coast Suns academies. And they also gained, you know, valuable experience playing against some of, you know, Australia's best emerging talent as well. And now it's the boys' turn, with the under 16 boys taking place from the 11th, started yesterday, Wednesday, the 11th of March, and it will continue until the 16th of March at the Gold Coast as well. And the squad also includes players from Tonga, Papua New Guinea, Nauru, Fiji, Vanuatu, and as well, who will be competing. And similar to the under 16 girls, during the camp, the Pacific team will take on the Gold Coast Suns Academy and the Brisbane Lions Academy as well. And, you know, the players will also be taking part in football training sessions and also have a tour of the elite AFL facilities and participate in development workshops and training and high performance training as well. So big shout out to the AFL Pacific Nations that's happening, and also needing to acknowledge that program is made possible by through Pacific All Sports, and Pacific All Sports has been great in supporting all our young athletes in the Pacific to be able to gain high performance training. So that's what's happening at the moment in the Gold Coast, Sam, for AFL Pacific Nations.
That's a combined team, yeah? So all of the nations come to a combined team, yeah, that will play. Awesome. May the AFL do it so well, don't they, when it comes to pathway systems and setting all of that up around so there's opportunities for Indigenous and Pacific Islanders. So I love what they do in the AFL space. Now it's time for some... it's time for me to have a paddle. Where are we paddling to? Vegas, I think. We're going to Vegas on this one, and it's not for the NRL. It's actually for Jai Opetaia. Did you both manage to see some of the news around Jai's fight that happened in that Zuffa fight card?
Unfortunately, no, Sam. I have been fully occupied with my social media.
Yes, fair enough. No, I understand that. Jamie, did you get to have a look at this fight with Jai absolutely dominating?
I came across a post, but I didn't really have a look through it because I was probably busy with football.
Okay, well, I'll fill us in here. Jai Opetaia, he's the dangerous man in the world at the moment in the welterweight division. Cruiserweight division. And he fought in this Zuffa fight card. It's owned by UFC boss Dana White. And he fought against Brendan Glanton and won by unanimous decision. And this is the very first time Zuffa has organized a promotion and a fight event and a belt on this one card. So Jai Opetaia has now gone over with Dana White on this one. But he's also the IBF International Cruiserweight title holder. And him fighting on this card has come at a cost because this fight didn't get sanctioned under the IBF. They actually stripped him of his IBF cruiserweight title. So, look, the politics of boxing, it's as bad as everywhere else in sport, really. But it's not my scope. I try and focus on what happens in the ring or on the field or on the track. But it's just disappointing that someone of Jai's caliber, who's defended this belt for like the last 4 years, man, he even broke his jaw twice in one fight to defend this title. And he's trying to unify all the belts. Like, he's active. He wants anyone, man. He wants to scrap anywhere, anytime. Doesn't matter. Like, that's what I love about his attitude. So they took that off him. He got the win, though, and I'm not sure where it's going to leave him in terms of, you know, where Zuffa's going to head in terms of who wants to fight for what belt. But he's an amazing ambassador. He wears that Samoan flag on his shoulders with a lot of pride. He was singing one of the Samoan songs after it, getting the crowd involved. And he's an absolute champion in my eyes, and I wish him all the best on his upcoming fights and for the future. But now it's time to go back to you, Jamie. Where are we headed next?
Well, Sam, we are going to the Happy Isles, Solomon Islands.
I was going to say, where's the Happy Isles? Okay, the Solomon Islands. Yeah, perfect. What have you got for us
here? Yeah, so we'll hold up Va'a there in Solomon Islands for the OFC Pro League Round 4, which is set for kickoff this weekend. And the Solomon Kings now play host as the round four kicks off at the National Stadium this weekend. And after their performance in Melbourne, the Kings are sitting comfortably in top three after an impressive performance in the first three rounds. I know you're smiling, Sam.
Yeah, the
That's
Kings.
Your team.
Go the Kings. Yeah. Get up there.
You know, Solomon Islands is a country passionate about football, so big crowds are expected to be there when they host their professional football club on home soil. So the Kings, after that top four performance, they're expected to perform in front of the crowd when they host Auckland FC and South Melbourne FC. And the last time they played Auckland FC was in Port Moresby during round two, which they defeated them, winning Auckland, breaking that winning streak from Auckland FC. And for the other fixtures, apart from the Solomon Kings, we have PNG Hikari facing South Island United in the first match. Now, the last meet was also in Port Moresby during round two, which South Island won the match through a late goal scored by Solomon Islands international Robo Boyers. Now, this fixture is also special for Robo Boyers, returning home to play in front of his family and fans. And also the same for John Orubulu and coach Jerry Allen, leading Hikari in his home country. Now, in the evening fixtures, as I mentioned, Kings face Auckland FC. And for Sunday fixtures, we have the Vanuatu United taking on South Melbourne. Match for redemption after that heavy loss against South Melbourne in Port Moresby. Now, Bulla FC take on Tahiti United in the final match on that on this weekend. Both teams met during the last round as well in PNG. Now, for Tahiti United fans, this is an opportunity to watch Joseph Atale and Jermaine Haiwagene to perform their football skills on the field before they join the New Caledonia national team to compete in the intercontinental playoffs in 2 weeks' time. So, another news for football there for our two athletes for the Tahiti United side.
Great work. And Mel, I believe you're a little bit lazy on this canoe ride with us. Like, you don't want to leave the Australian shores. So I believe you've got another story for us here in Australia, but obviously with some Pacific flavour.
I do, and it's still on the Gold Coast. That's how lazy I am today. I'm so
not
sorry,
a bad spot,
everybody.
But it's no Vanuatu, and it's no New Caledonia, and it's definitely no Palau, Samoa, Tonga or Fiji.
Absolutely not. But I still on the Gold Coast. The Australian Beach Volleyball Youth Championships is currently happening this week from the 9th. Started on the 9th and it will conclude today, the 12th of March, on the Gold Coast. And this competition has brought together some of the best young beach volleyball talent from across Australia, from the different states. I think Queensland is represented, New South Wales is represented, South Australia, Western Australia. And it, you know, features a high level of competition across under 14s to under 18s age division in the tournament, and it gives junior athletes the chance to test themselves against some of the, you know, the country's brightest and best emerging players in beach volleyball. But among those Australian athletes that are competing, Vanuatu has also sent three teams to compete in the tournament who travelled to the Gold Coast end of last week to Australia to compete, but they have an under 16, under 17s and an under 18s team competing in that tournament as well. Now, last year I spoke with Miller, who came with just one team, and in that team his daughter her daughter was competing as well. But this year they've gone back to Vanuatu and developed beach volleyball some more and developed the youth talent some more. Now they have an under 16s team, under 17 and under 18 team competing in the tournament. And throughout the week the young Vanuatu athletes have been taking on very strong Australian oppositions and gaining valuable experience as well, playing at this level, a level of beach volleyball that they won't necessarily get in the Vanuatu. So the under-16 girls pairing of Esther Adnello and Cameron albeit have been the standout performers for Vanuatu, recording 4 wins and 2 losses in their campaign across the first 3 days of the competition and putting themselves in a strong position heading into final day, which is today. And then in the under-17s, the Vanuatu pair also had a great day yesterday in day 3 with a clean sweep, winning both of their matches in straight sets. And the under-18s team, although they have not done as well as the under-16 and the under-17s team, we could safely say they've had the strongest competition in the tournament, but they've played really well and played really hard as well throughout the tournament, you know, picking up important wins, but also gaining some valuable experience as well. But overall, the championships have been a great opportunity for Team Vanuatu to compete at a high level of beach volleyball. And it's a great opportunity to continue developing the next generation of beach volleyball talent. And hopefully we see more Pacific teams in that tournament to test out their talent and their skills in the future.
Love it. Love that, because that actually leads us nicely into our second interview, which we're going to get to right this very minute, actually. So, Mel, you chatted to Manu Maki from Vanuatu Beach Volleyball. You know, how was that chat and the direction of where Vanuatu Volleyball is heading?
Oh, look, I had the privilege to chat with Manu Maki, who gave me so much information about Vanuatu Beach Volleyball, but also just talking about the sort of the direction that they're trying to take in terms of their beach volleyball. And, you know, Sam, I have to say, one thing that I love about Vanuatu Beach Volleyball is that you have this community where they make it so safe for girls to compete. And I think Manu, in his interview, also outlined and stated as well. And I think that the direction they're taking with their school programs, they've really developed their school programs and developed their junior competitions in Vanuatu as well to be able to be in this position where they have 3 teams competing in Gold Coast at the moment. But I chatted with him. We started our conversation by talking about the teams that they've brought to the Gold Coast and how they've kind of fared over the tournament.
We brought 4 teams here in Australia. So we have 1 team of the under-16, 1 under-17 teams, and then 2 under-18 teams.
Manu, I understand that today is the 3rd day of the tournament. How have the teams performed over the last 3 days?
They performed really well. They did their best. Even like we lost some of our matches, but we're still fighting to win at the matches. And tomorrow is the 4th day, and we're still playing tomorrow.
Manu, being able to send this many youth teams is reflective of the development of beach volleyball in Vanuatu. But as one of the coaches in the federation, just how far and how big has the development been over the years? And what are some of the highlights?
One of the highlights, we've seen one of our beach volleyball girls. She's playing at the senior team at the moment, which is Maja Belawa. This year, we managed to have 4 teams to compete in this youth championship. I think last year, we only sent 1 team to this Australian youth championship. Like, we've seen like many improvements and achievements that the coaches have dedicated themselves to train the kids from Vanuatu or different schools that they come to us at the beach volleyball center. So, I think for us, we've seen a really big impact to beach volleyball team.
Thank you, Manu. And I think it won't be hard for young girls to want to play beach volleyball, looking at all the great role models and the inspiration that they would take from the senior players that have been representing Vanuatu well so far. But now let's talk a little bit about the senior teams. What are some of the other events coming up that Vanuatu Beach Volleyball is gearing up for, and how important are they for the teams?
We have like a Beach Pro Tour in New Zealand, and we will have another tournament in Langata, and then from here and next month there will be another event in Thailand, and we're looking forward to the Asian Championship, which is in September this year, and we'll see if we will qualify for the LA 2028. And in each tournament, which is go and play and gain more points to qualify.
Amazing. And look, the girls, the senior girls that are playing beach volleyball have represented Vanuatu so well and are some of our icons in Vanuatu sport. But over the last couple of days, I know that you
have also seen some of the stuff on social media. There has been some negative comments and discourse online about women in sport again. And you know, whilst it was amazing to see the backing that women in sport are now starting to get in Vanuatu, what is something that you would say as a coach to young women and girls who are still thinking about going into sport, but maybe a little bit discouraged or now afraid to come out and play sport because of all the comments that they are seeing online?
Okay, for me as a coach, I would encourage all girls and females to participate in sport. We are all equals to men. In sport, we don't have differences between us. So I encourage the girls to go and play whatever sport they like. And one thing that I've seen is the mindset that the public or some coaches have on not encouraging women to play sport, which is, for me, I think it's really bad. As a coach, we have to create an environment where we would invite everyone to enjoy sport. And, you know, sport is a place where we find, like, unity and we come and, yeah, like, we have fun.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with me, Sam Wykes, and thank you so much to Mill for that chat with Manu Maki from Vanuatu Beach Volleyball. If you've just joined us, so Mill, when is your chat? When is your hard-hitting interview with the Vanuatu soccer coach? When is that one coming?
I'm waiting for it. You know, In fact, I was meant to have that conversation this week. That was supposed to be this week, but unfortunately, I couldn't get that. But I think Manu being on the show in that interview kind of also it was great to have him on the show to kind of talk about and look at it from a different perspective.
Nice, nice. Now you're not wrong, and I'm looking forward to that one. I can't wait for those hard hitting questions. But that's us for now. Let's get over to
Fresh Off the Dome.
Yes, we're at the back end of the show, and we do like to finish off our show with a little bit of fun, a little bit of joy, a little bit of humour, a little bit of everything, a little bit of the unknown as well. Actually, do we know what's actually going on here half the time? Because I certainly don't know what's happening. But every week I'll ask three questions. The ladies will use their name as a buzzer if they think they know the answer. And of course, you can play along at home as well. So are we ready for Fresh Off the Dome, ladies? We're good to go. After all of that sporting information. Well, hopefully you've absorbed
it. I'm having internet issues, but I'm good to go.
What are you saying? You have issues?
Yeah, with the connection.
Oh, yeah. In general. Thank you. Now, in general. Oh, no. Get me that excuse bucket out, please. Throw more in there. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Well, let's get to question number one. Who is the top scorer in the OFC Pro League?
Jamie.
It was multiple choice too, but anyway, don't worry about it.
Jordan Swivel
is...
Did you say Pauline?
Yes, it's correct. Don't worry, you're right. Yeah. Yes, ding, ding, ding. I just wanted to make you sweat a little bit. Six goals and the others have five. Off to a flying start, so no excuses so far when you're in front. Here we go. Question number two. Which part of New York City is hosting the upcoming World Rugby Sevens event, which starts on the 14th. Is it A, Manhattan, B, New Jersey, or C, the Long Island Iced Tea?
Okay. That's something I haven't heard.
Oh, now the excuses
really
will come.
There
is. Oh, I can't hear you properly. Can you say it again? Here it is. Which part of New York City, the Big Apple, it is hosting the upcoming World Rugby Sevens event, which starts on the 14th. Is it A, Manhattan, B, New Jersey, or C, Long Island?
Melissa.
Go, Mel.
I'm going to guess.
That's all I can ask for.
Is New Jersey in New York?
There it is. Ding, ding, ding. It is in New York.
Yeah.
It is in New York, and it is one apiece. Jamie, I'm a bit disappointed there. You are the rugby correspondent here. You should know this. You should know this. But anyway, let's go to question number three. Winner takes all. Which rugby league star is one try off equaling Ken Irvine's 64-year try scoring record in the National Rugby League? And Jamie, take it away.
Alex Johnson.
Alex Johnson, it is. He is one try off equaling.
I stand great, no chance.
Yeah, yeah, you didn't. You had one chance, and that was no chance. Ken Irvine, 64-year try-scoring record. They play against the Roosters tomorrow night, and if he scores a double, he will break the record. So the PNG Flyer, hopefully he can get the job done there. But anyway, ladies, that is our time up for an amazing show. Probably the best one we've done all year, if I do say so myself. A massive thank you to you, Melissa Fade, and Jamie Huddle.
Thank you, Tomas.
Yeah. I think the third time both of us got on the show this year, so a lot of fun all the time. I have a lot of fun all the time coming on the show with you guys.
I have a lot of fun. And to be honest, sorry, I went to the outro too fast. I forgot to actually congratulate you, Jamie, for being the winner for Fresh Off the Dome.
Oh, yes.
My fault. I got too excited to get to the end. I'm a little bit hungry. I want to go get my pork roll. But a big thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.